Today, the Supreme Court heard arguments on whether states should be allowed to put dangerous sex offenders in mental institutions even after they've already served time for their crimes. In 1994, Kansas passed a law known as the Sexually Violent Predator Act after a rapist who was released from prison soon afterward raped and murdered another victim. The law would commit such criminals to mental institutions while they undergo treatment. Opponents of the law say it is nothing more than double jeopardy, punishing a defendant twice for the same crime. NPR's Philip Davis has this report.
Kansas thinks its sexual predator law was designed just for people like Leroy Hendricks, whose case the Supreme Court heard today. Here's what Kansas Attorney General Carla Stovall told reporters outside the court.
Leroy Hendricks has a 40-year history of sexually abusing children. He has 11 victims that we know of. If he has 11 victims that we know of over 40 years, you can bet your bottom dollar there are many, many more victims out there. He sexually molested boys, girls, young children, teenagers, children that he had never met before, as well as family members, and as well as children that he developed a relationship with their family so he would be able to have access to the children with the permission of the parents. Mr. Hendricks is the textbook example of why we need a law like this. He is extremely dangerous, and I certainly hope the court does not release him onto the streets of Kansas.
Stovall told the high court today that the sexual predator law is the most humane way to treat people like Hendricks. Stovall says she told the court even though Hendricks is dangerous, the law is not meant to be punishment, even though it could possibly put him away for the rest of his life.
What the state is doing is providing care and treatment, and we've never looked at care and treatment as a criminal punishment, but it is merely the ability to provide treatment for those folks that need it.
That assumption came under sharp questioning from the high court. Justice Sandra Day O'Connor asked if the state could say any kind of offender with a disposition to repeat a crime needed such treatment and be put away. And later, Justice Antonin Scalia wondered what was the difference between the Kansas law and laws of totalitarian regimes that allowed the state to commit to mental institutions those who disagreed with them. To Hendricks's lawyer, Thomas Weiler, the answer is clear. Like those totalitarian practices, institutionalization in this case is really no different from prison.
It, in fact, is a lifetime incarceration. Once a person receives the diagnosis of pedophilia, they live with it forever, and that's all the state has to show. There isn't any way for them to get a mental health professional to say that there's probable cause to believe he won't commit the crime in the future, and therefore gain his release. So it's not a kinder, gentler way. It's just a different type of lifelong incarceration.
And that would be an unconstitutional violation of the Double Jeopardy Clause, banning a person from being punished twice for the same offense. Weiler said Kansas's main motive in this case is punishment, not rehabilitation.
In 1984, Kansas could have given Mr. Hendricks 45 to 180 years. They made a determination at that point of his dangerousness. They said 5 to 20 years is enough, and now they're simply trying to change their mind and trying to wreck the Constitution in the process.
But the justices were clearly troubled by the implications of letting a convicted criminal, one who has admitted that he has a compulsion to molest children, back out on the streets. What is the state supposed to do, Scalia asked, simply wait until the criminal inevitably commits another crime? Weilert replied that there were other ways, restricted parole, the threat of the death sentence, to keep past offenders like Hendricks in line. Justice O'Connor scoffed at that. She said that such restrictions are often meaningless to criminals. The case also presents difficult definitional problems. Should the law kick in if a person has a mental abnormality or only if he or she suffers from a certifiable mental illness? Justice Souter asked Kansas Attorney General Stovall if it wasn't possible that your basic career armed robber, since he or she repeatedly flouted the law, could be proven to be mentally abnormal. Should that person be committed as well? What burden of proof did the state need to show such a criminal had a propensity for doing more crimes? Stovall replied that Kansas need only show a reasonable likelihood. And she said to keep the law from being abused, the state drew the line at very serious crimes like sexual abuse. To Weiler, Hendricks's attorney, that's the problem. It's inherently an arbitrary decision.
I think it's a very slippery slope if we start talking about incarcerating people for what they might do in the future, and that's what the state's basically wanting to do in this case.
So far, only 8 people have been committed under the Kansas law. If it is upheld, Hendricks and his ilk will be kept away from Kansas's children, but it could also become a powerful new tool for states to control people they consider dangerous. I'm Philip Davis in Washington.